Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, Father, thank you for your word. And speak things in our heart that register that impact, that influence us to believe what you believe, think what you think, to surrender to the mind of Christ. Amen. Yay. My favorite person in the world is here. I'm not going to tell you who it is because that makes you all think that you're the one, but you're not. The one who is knows who they are. The teaching is a little bit different. Now, this is almost a teaching that I would do, particularly at a clergy conference. But it's relevant to all of us. All of us, we're all full-time ministers. Our mission field is what's between your two feet. And I know that when you talk about full-time ministry, that's sort of a strange term because every Christian's, Jesus is a full-time minister. And if you're in Christ and you're a full-time minister, that may not be the way you earn your money or your vocation, but it's the same. And having done this now for a long time, having done Bible college, and then I was in Bible college for a long time, not because I was totally stupid, though relatively that way, still am actually, but because I was also working for a ministry in Birmingham. So I took part-time hours, except for one semester or so. And so I did it over about a seven-year period because I was working for this ministry also and then going to school. But I was around Bible college world and for a long time and sort of professional Christianity for a while. And then now being a clergy, being a pastor, and then being a bishop and being an archbishop, I'm around clergy all the time. And I'm around bishops all the time. And that's not just here, but around the world. What I'm going to share would be relevant no matter where I be speaking, but it's particularly an issue in the West, but it can affect all of us regardless of whether you're clergy or not. But there are just some things I've often heard over the years that I think have been a misrepresentation of truth. And I don't mean by that a lie, but not accurate. And I think it's caused more pain than good. So let me just read these verses. We're still in John 3. And in John 3, verse 22, it says, "And after these things, after the Passover feast, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea." And we talked about this yesterday, and I wrote about this yesterday. This next phrase just blesses me so. And we might do that again, take that a little bit further, either tomorrow or Sunday morning. And there Jesus was spending time with them and baptizing. Now, it's important, I think, in this sort of section of Scripture that's there for a number of reasons, but I want to tie some things together. That Jesus' priority, because we know, as I mentioned yesterday from chapter 4, he didn't do any baptizing. It was his disciples that were doing the baptizing. And I'm not even sure that Jesus, like, said, go baptize people. But because he wasn't involved in it at all. I don't know if he was mad at him, didn't indicate that, or upset with him, but what it does say, the Holy Spirit makes sure that Jesus' priority was to spend time with them. And they, the disciples, were baptizing. And John was also baptizing in Anon near Salim because there was much water there. And people were coming and were being baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. And again, the Holy Spirit has that phrase there in this place strategically, which you'll see. The fact that John's not been thrown into prison yet. Because once John gets thrown into prison, his ministry totally changes. You would agree, right? So that's coming. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification, about baptism. And again, as I mentioned yesterday, Jews were baptizing for all kinds of reasons. When they would come into Jerusalem to go to a festival, they would baptize themselves. They would get in the pools that are around Jerusalem. When all kinds of things that people would do to sort of the purification for an event or a moment. And they came to John and said, "Rabbi," after discussing this with this Jew, now they were Jews too, but this was obviously a Pharisee who pointed something out to them as they got into whatever, the nature of their discussion about, well, who's purifying more people? Who's got the most popular purification thing going on? And so the Jew feels led to point out that it's not you, it's not John. Because when this conversation's done, they come to John the Baptist and say this. Now, I feel like I'm telling part of the story of the Chosen. You're thinking that, aren't you? All right. And they came to him and said, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. So whatever information they got from this Pharisee, it's upset them. And they've come to John and say, look, this guy who was with you, the one that you pointed out, like you know, like Jesus did, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. All of his disciples may not have understood what John was saying. I think if they did, they would have probably left too, like some of the other disciples did. But he was certainly amening Jesus' ministry. And yet they said, this one who was with you, he's now baptizing and everybody's coming to him. Well, one, he wasn't baptizing, but everybody was coming to him. Things were changing. Now, in the evangelical charismatic world, that is an emergency. That if the church down the street is growing faster than your church, and some of the people that you thought that were going to come to your church are now going to their church, this is a big deal. She was a church secretary for 17 years. Am I telling the truth, Donna, or not? And this is what John said. I love it. So now I want to get tender, not just be funny. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. And you yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full, and he must increase, but I must decrease. There are several things here that are really important. I've read this scripture for decades, and just reading it again, I wanted to take it for face value. I don't want to do any more chosen interpretation. I want to just say what it says. John, in talking to them, because they're concerned about the fact that their ministry is getting smaller and Jesus' ministry is getting bigger. John says this, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. Now, is he talking about the context of ministry here? Yes. But does the word nothing cover everything? Yes. A man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. I've watched, so let's just apply it to ministry stuff. I've watched so many pastors burn out trying to get their churches bigger so they would feel successful. Because when they meet other brothers in Christ, or when they go to some conference, or they go to a ministerial association, people will ask them all the time, well, how's your church doing? And what they mean is, what's the size? How big is it? And I've watched this over the years with tragic consequences emotionally in the lives of ministers. Ministers, see, like a minister has different set of responsibilities, but a minister should have just as much joy in doing the will of God in their life as a Christian who's called to sell insurance or be a golf pro or whatever. God's will is wonderful. But we've allowed a narrative, particularly in the West, but not just in the West, but particularly in the West, to create what we determine what success looks like. And we're driven because we're counting. And anytime you're counting in your Christian life, it's about performance. And the number that you count, how many hours you pray, how many people you witness to, how many people got healed, as long as you're counting, then you're trying to perform and you feel successful based on how much you count. You know, I do a devotional pretty much every day and I put things on Facebook. And I used to always go back and look and see who was reading it and how many people were watching it. And some months ago, when I got back from Africa, I really felt like the Lord said, stop doing that. And it's just a form of counting. So I don't want to know anymore. And the other reason was I didn't want to write something a certain way and then people read it and go, oh, we love this one. Gazillion people watch this one. But if I write something else and like 40 people read that one, then I'm going to write the one that that's more like the one that gazillion people wrote. Now, I want to say what God tells me to say without any concern what people are going to think. And I didn't want to get into the whole counting thing. You with me? Because one of my weaknesses, one of my flesh patterns is I want people to think I'm wonderful anyway, which is not fun because it doesn't work out that way. But whatever God's given you, see, like if a person's walking in sin, whether you're a ministry, like, you know, professional minister or you're not, you sell shoes for a living, but you're a Christian, and then Christ has ministry from He just does. He's a minister. And he wants to give himself away to others. And so unless you're just being sinful in that you don't ever, you know, you're ashamed or you're living in fear or your sins is keeping you from being obedient. If you're walking in obedience as much as you know and you're abiding in Christ, then whatever God has given you is a gift from heaven. And it should be treated that way. For no man can receive anything. You can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. If you're a Christian, you live under the reign of the kingdom of heaven. See, there may come a day when I don't have all the responsibilities I have, where I'm not doing bishop-y stuff and archbishop-y stuff, and I'm not doing this church anymore. I'm just here. I'm one of those, what title do you give them? Emeritus would mean they just stick around and cause trouble, but they don't do anything to help anybody. And because I've just gotten older and I can't do all those things, and all I can do is, you know, just go visit somebody every once in a while or carry the spoon or carry the boat. No man can receive anything unless it's given him from heaven. And I better be grateful for that as a gift from heaven, because I'm not less successful because I'm not getting to preach every week and I'm not being able to do a bishop or an archbishop thing. Are you with me? And I can't tell you how many Christians' lives, clergies, live devastated lives because they're always navel-gazing and thinking they're not successful because their thing is not as big as it used to be or is small. What if God's gift to a person was a church of 12? For a man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. What if clergy who do that, or a Christian who says, well, I work in a situation and I pray for people and I do what I do, but I don't like, I read Heidi Baker stories and she's getting people raised from the dead. I haven't seen that happen yet. And I just don't feel like I'm very spiritual. I should fast more, pray more, read my Bible more. What a yada yada. What you have is a gift from heaven and you should treat it that way. Whether you're reaching thousands of people or you've only led one person to Christ in the last 3 years, but you've certainly been available to the Lord. Somebody else's story shouldn't make you feel guilty. We can't compare. John is saying this to his disciples. You hear me? In the context, what was important, what was most important thing is Jesus wanted to spend time with them. What was most important to John was, I hear his voice. I'm a friend of the bridegroom. And when I hear his voice, my joy is overflowing. That's the best thing of all. And besides that, these disciples are worrying about the ministry and Jesus is getting bigger. And theirs is about to go down the tank. Because John's about to get beheaded. God's sovereign with all that stuff. Now, I know that people would get mad at me in the wrong setting. Well, church growth, and we got to do this, and we got to push people. I've just watched it happen over the years. And I heard somebody say one time, if you give a person a church of 500 people, but all they've ever done is have a church of 200, and you leave them alone for a while, they'll have that church down to 200 people. And it was like a cut. I'm thinking, well, maybe that's because that's who they are in Christ. Maybe the person who had 500 members was real hyper, wired, was a workaholic, did all kinds of stuff. Their wife was fine with all that. No matter how many hours they work, they have all this kind of stuff. But maybe this person who does 200 isn't wired that way at all. They're being as obedient as they know how to be. They're abiding in Christ. But they're called to steward 200 people. A man can receive nothing unless it's given to him from heaven. And so I feel like I'm not even communicating this right or good enough. But y'all, this is a world life game changer for you, either whether you're a lay person or you do what I do as your profession, as your vocation. You hear me? So I'm so glad that these guys are here to hear that. Bob used to pastor a church. He pastored a church. They're not pastoring a church now, so they can't be less than successful. They're not very useful. No. You can't receive anything unless it's been given you from heaven. And what you guys do is a gift from heaven, and you need to treat it that way every day. Not do one more moment of listening to the enemy and thinking somehow you're a failure. Because I'll be doing what you're doing one day. You've earned the right. You understand what I'm saying? His voice and his presence is enough. Isn't that a powerful scripture? A man can receive nothing. Well, you say, well, my business, and I've tried really hard, and it's not really grown that much, but you've walked in the Spirit. Can't you just receive that, you barely get by every month, because that's just but you're getting by. That's a gift from heaven to you. Your little shop's a gift from heaven. Doesn't matter if you don't have a Fortune 500 business. That's their gift from heaven if they're a Christian. We like to talk about Abraham and all the money Abraham had, but Abraham never owned anything but an altar and a tent. But every Christian isn't an Abraham. God doesn't give everybody the ability to win or to earn or to think through or be entrepreneurial enough, that kind of money. A person doesn't have a large church because they got their act together. But this guy with a smaller church, because he doesn't have their act together, and we're going to whip him and beat him until we try to get him to do so you can do what this guy does. I've never seen it happen. Nothing worked. I mean, you can help some, right? We can help them do what they do better. But in the end, what they're called to do is a gift from heaven. Gosh, we waste time. As Christians in the ministry, man, we listen to the voice of the devil and beat the snot out of each other and call it motivation. That's tragedy. You know, I love Christ the King because it was given as a gift from heaven for me to steward at the time. It doesn't belong to me. Nothing belongs to me, you know? And I thank God for the church that has 700 people. And I'm going to keep doing what we're doing and be obedient. Reach as many people as we can to Christ, but not until my church would be bigger so I feel more successful. Because what I have doesn't mean I don't want more. I want more if they're all getting saved and we're spreading them around. You with me? For what I have today, what you have has been given to you from heaven. Therefore, you should be treated as a gift from heaven. Amen. You've been at this a long time, my brother, and your daddy did it, so you know. And so I know this may be just like a Wednesday word. This is one of the most important words I've ever shared because I've watched so many people hurt over the years. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.